Let's bow together in prayer before we come to the Lord's message tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for thy word. And O God, we pray that thou wilt write its message upon the hearts of every listener. We pray that tonight, O God, some soul or souls will come to a knowledge of the truth that, Lord, thou wilt save tonight. We pray for young and old. We pray that tonight they may be spoken to with the message of thy truth this night. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention in the closing moments of this service to the 24th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, verses 24 through to 27. We will know that words possess great power. Wars have been waged and peace have been brokered all through the power of words. Hopes have been bolstered and dreams have been shattered, all by the power of a few words. Words have been the means of dividing families and uniting families. Words, of course, inspired the Germans to follow Hitler into a costly world war. Words have inspired the collapse of nations. Words, whether we see it or not, hold a tremendous power over our daily life. And the Bible is full of statements regarding words and their power. For example, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." Words can be a snare. And how many are snared by the words of their mouth? And then Ecclesiastes 5 and 3 says, "For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words." And how many speak the words of folly? How much have we heard today in society continually being put at us, the words of the fool? And then in Matthew 12:36, Jesus said, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." And so, of course, the words that you speak will be a cause of judgment at the end of life's journey. Of every idle word that you will speak, you will give account on the day of judgment. And then in the 12th chapter of John in verse 48, says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Of course, at the last day, the word that the Lord has spoken will be a means whereby men shall be judged. As you see from these verses and many others we could cite to you tonight, words are extremely important. And our text speaks of a man who had experienced firsthand the power of a few words. Felix, the Roman governor of Judea, is listening to Paul the apostle speak to him concerning the Christian faith. Look at verse 24 of the portion, Acts 24. "After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ." And so he was listening to the words of Paul, the great apostle, speak to him concerning the truth of the gospel. And as Paul preaches the gospel, Felix is moved. Bible tells us in verse 25, "As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." This man, Felix, is moved by the words that Paul speaks to him. What powerful and penetrating words they were that the apostle Paul used on this occasion. What meaning was in these words? And these words tonight still have a powerful meaning and a powerful message, even for you in this service tonight. the power of a few words, and maybe over the years, as you've listened to the gospel of Christ, words have struck home to your heart, and God has spoken to you. There's a message from God for your soul tonight. A message of salvation. A message of hope in the gospel of God's dear Son. And it is our prayer tonight that you might come and that you might trust the Savior even before you leave the service. I want you to see, first of all, tonight the words that confronted him. The Bible tells us here in these verses that Paul reasoned with Felix and his wife Priscilla. The word reasoned means to mingle thought with thought. It means to discuss. It means to preach. And Paul spent his time with the governor and his wife to declare unto them the truths of the gospel. In fact, this seems to be the reason why Paul was sent for by them anyway. Because they had actually sent for Paul and heard him concerning his faith in Christ. And as Paul preached, there are two aspects, or two areas of his sermon that served as a direct confrontation to the life of Felix. First of all, he preached about righteousness. And this word righteousness means the state of him who is as he ought to be. It refers to the state of being right. It is what God is, for God is righteous. It is what man is not, because man is unrighteous. It literally speaks of a state of moral and spiritual purity. Paul preached about the righteousness of God. And in the Psalm 50 and verse 6, we read the 50th Psalm and the 6th verse, the Scripture declares, "And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself." See that? It is God's righteousness that was confronting the hearts of Felix and Priscilla on this occasion. The righteous God, the righteousness declared concerning God in his holy word. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, First Epistle of John, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." The righteousness of God. God is light. There's no darkness in God. He's the God of light. He's the God of righteousness. Many times God is referred to today, and I know sometimes we can get even caught up in this ourselves, as the man above, or as the man upstairs. And he's nothing of the sort. God is the holy, righteous, and almighty God. He is so holy and so righteous that he can't even look upon sin. Man who is altogether sinful cannot even enter into his presence in his own goodness or upon his own merit, because God is righteous. And Paul preached the fact that God is righteous, and this righteous God hates sin. In Romans chapter 1 and the verse 18, Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 1 verse 18, he said this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." You see, God hates sin. And this very chapter of Romans, chapter 1, reveals to us the hatred of God against sin. What man calls an accident, God calls an abomination. What man calls a blunder, God calls blindness. What man calls chance, God calls choice. What man calls a disease, God calls a defect. What man calls error, God calls enmity. Man says it is a weakness, but God says it is wickedness. And the bottom line is this, dear friends, tonight in this service, that God is holy and man is unholy. That God is pure and man is impure. That God is sinless and man is sinful. The Bible tells you and me tonight in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, you're all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousness are as filthy rags. In fact, if you go through the third chapter of Romans and look at from verse 10, you'll discover what the Bible says about the state of man. And it reveals there in those verses from verse 10 of Romans to verse 12, chapter 3, it says this, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Down to verse 23, and it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're missing the mark. We're missing the mark. Sin has condemned man. Man is a sinner. And you're a sinner tonight in the sight of a holy God. And Paul told Felix, he could try to go to heaven in one of two ways. He could try to go through his own righteousness, which we've discovered according to Isaiah 64 and 6, is as right, is as filthy rags. Or he could go through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, described in Philippians 3 and 9. And Paul, no doubt, told Felix that the requirement for entering into heaven was the perfect righteousness of Christ. What does the Bible say in Matthew 5:20? Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And perhaps he had heard the truth that a lost sinner could be made righteous through the finished work of the cross. The Bible teaches in Romans 10 and verse 4, it teaches us this very matter. It says there, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The only way for him to become righteous was through faith in Christ Jesus. And that's the only way for you to become righteous tonight. It's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible teaches in James 2 and verse 23, the second chapter of James, and the verse 23, it says this, the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. He believed God. He was made righteous in God's sight by faith in Christ. The Old Testament's the same as the New Testament, friend. By faith in the Old Testament time, by faith in the New Testament time, believing in order to be made righteous. And how these words must have touched the heart of Felix. Because he was anything but righteous. He was a sinful man. He was noted in his day for excessively sinful living, drunkenness, brutality, murder. He was a very wicked man. And maybe these words tonight concerning Felix are words that confront your heart. Just as they confronted Felix so long ago. For you're unrighteous. You're sinful. You're unholy. There's only the breath in your body between you and hell tonight. The step between you and death. Eternal death. You're wicked in God's sight. And none of you will ever get to heaven tonight unless you possess the perfect righteousness of Christ. And you can only get that righteousness by fear. Put your trust in the finished work of the cross. Paul preached about righteousness, but he preached also to Felix about temperance. He preached to him about temperance. He reasoned of righteousness. Temperance. What is temperance? Self-control. And when Paul preached about righteousness, he was dealing with their character. When he spoke about temperance, he was speaking of their conduct. Their character, of course, had to do with how they were before God. Their conduct had to do with how they lived before men. And this man was hit with the Word of God. This couple were hit by the Word of God. And just as Felix was lacking in righteousness, he was lacking in self-control. The name Felix means happy. But this man was anything but happy. He'd been married 3 times. He was an immoral man. Together, he and Drusilla lived a life of open sin. And Paul's words stung them deeply. And when Paul addressed Felix, he was speaking to a man who had lost his dignity. A man who had lost his decency. A man who had lost his morality. And when he addressed Drusilla, he was speaking to a woman who had lost her decency and her modesty and her purity. Here's a couple who were morally bankrupt. Here's a people who were thoroughly evil. And over the years, perhaps you've been confronted the message of God's truth. The Word of God concerning your lifestyle. Concerning the sin that you've committed. And are committed. And the Bible says to you and me tonight, be sure your sin will find you out. And sin had found Felix and Drusilla out. And sin will find you out tonight. The Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also. Have you been sowing to the flesh? The Bible says, if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. I'm sure, however, that Paul took time to tell them that God had made a way for their sins to be forgiven. I'm sure he pointed them to the cross of Calvary. To behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, to the one who could make them new creatures in Christ Jesus, to the blood that cleanses from all sin. And we point you tonight to Christ. He's the one that can deal with the sin question. His precious blood it is that cleanses from the vilest sin. That the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon received. Thank God there's pardon for you tonight through the blood of the cross. Pardon for you tonight. You're not saved. This meeting. Many people flee from the Word of God because it is so confrontational. And hence when the Word of God comes, it brings conviction to their hearts. Conviction is the first step to being saved. Are you convicted tonight? Your sin. The Bible speaks in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John and the 44th verse, John 6 and 44, it says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. You can't come to the Lord unless you're drawn by the Spirit of God, and the first step in that way is the work of conviction. Conviction of sin. In the 16th chapter of John's Gospel, verses 7 to 11, we read concerning the work of the Spirit of God. It says there, John 16:7-11, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, but if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Here's his ministry. The ministry of the Comforter. The ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. When he has come, that is the Spirit of God, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment. Of sin because they believe not in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father, ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Conviction. Spirit of God reproving you tonight concerning sin and righteousness and judgment to come. Spirit of God convicting you as to how you stand before God, your character. How is it between you and God in this meeting? The Spirit of God convicting you concerning your conduct, how you're living before man. You're living a life of sin. Therefore, you're under God's condemnation and wrath tonight. The words that confronted him. But I want you to see, secondly, tonight, the words that concerned him. You see, Paul preached to him and to his wife concerning judgment to come. Judgment to come. He told them there was coming a day when they will face this righteous, sin-hating God in judgment if they will not repent. And no doubt he told them about the wages of sin. He told them about judgment and about hell itself. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. You take time to look at the 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 19 to 31, and the Bible speaks of the unquenchable fire of hell. Mark 9:43, in fact several times in the 9th chapter of Mark, it's mentioned the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's what you're facing tonight if you're not seeing the unquenchable fire. Hell is a place of memory and remorse. The rich man, you remember, Abraham said to him, "Son, remember. Son, remember." One of the many faculties you'll have in hell is that of remembrance, a memory that will haunt you and trouble you forever. Son, remember. And then, of course, there is the place of hell, which is the place of intense, unsatisfied thirst. The Bible speaks in the 16th chapter of Luke of this rich man in hell, and he was in desperate thirst, an insatiable thirst. Desired that Lazarus would be sent and dip the tip of his finger in water, just the tip of his finger. Just one drop of water. Goodness God. Hell is a place of misery and pain. He was tormented in hell. Luke 16 indicates that. Hell is a place not of pleasure, but of torment. Scripture indicates that hell is a place of frustration and anger. Hell is a place also of eternal separation. It reminds us there in the 21st chapter of Revelation of the separation of hell. Of course, in the 16th chapter of Luke, with the great gulf fixed between heaven and hell. Place of the blessed where Nazareth was. The presence of the Lord. Place of the damned where the rich man was. Hell. Separation. Undiluted wrath. The wrath of God. No doubt he told them of the great white throne of judgment. Revelation 20 verses 11 to 15 describes that great white throne of judgment. The small and great standing before God. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. Throne of judgment. Whatever it was that Felix heard, the Bible tells us here in Acts 24, verse 25, Felix trembled. He trembled. And the word trembled means to be thrown into fear, to become terrified. This man, perhaps for the very first time in his life, he understood he was a lost sinner. He understood he was abiding under the wrath of a holy and righteous God. He came to see he was in serious trouble with God, and he trembled. Are you trembling tonight? Are you struck with fear because you realize you're not right with God, and down these years you've been rejecting God, refusing God, rebelling against God? That's over weeks and months, even extending into years. Are you trembling in God's presence today? You know that you're lost. You know you're headed for hell. Take heart, my friend. There's a way out. There's a way back to God from the dark paths. There's a door that is open that you might come in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus Christ. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What a word that is. In the gospel tonight, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The word of God declares, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must receive you. Friend, you don't have to face the judgment unprepared. You can face it prepared in Christ. When you come into Christ, leave the world and its sin, for it will damn your soul, friend. Leave the devil and all the attractions that he would allure you with and draw you aside with tonight. Leave all these things behind. Come into Christ tonight. Seek the Lord. Trust the Savior. Will you do that, friend? Will you do it now? Right now. And then I want you to see the words that condemned him. As Felix was being convicted of his sins by the word of God, he made a terrible and a fateful decision. He sent Paul away. He refused to heed the message. He told Paul he would consider the matter again at a more convenient time. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He procrastinated. He put off the day of salvation. Well, from looking at all of history, and all the history tells us about this man, neither he nor his wife ever came to a more convenient season. The Bible never tells us they came to Christ. 2 years after this event, Felix was called back to Rome to face Nero for his brutality and harsh ways. He was discredited. He was removed from power. There's no indication he ever came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It appears that Drusilla also died in her sins. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Drusilla at the feet of the great apostle, and yet to go out into a lost eternity. It was the words of God that convicted Felix. But it was the words of his own mouth that condemned him. He died lost. Lost. That's how he chose. That's what he chose to do. He made the wrong choice. Oh, what a tragedy tonight. If you in this service were to make the wrong choice, to leave without Christ, to die in your sins, and gone from this gospel service. It may be that your own heart tonight has been convicted by the word of God. If so, it is up to you to say yes or no to the call. His words can confront you. They may even concern you. But in the end, it is your own words that condemn you. You see, my friend, where you will be in eternity does not rest on anything in this world except upon what you do with Jesus Christ. What will you do with Christ? What will you do with Christ? The 8th chapter of John's Gospel and the 24th verse. John 8, verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins if ye believe not. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Depends on whether or not you believe in Christ. You believe in Christ tonight. 1 John 5, verse 12. First Epistle of John, chapter 5, and the 12th verse. It declares this. 1 John 5:12. Notice the words of Holy Scripture again. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Have you got the Son tonight? The Son of God? You've only got the Son of God. If you've taken Him, if you've trusted Him, it's your Savior. If you want to be saved today, you can be saved. But it will only happen if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It all hinges on this belief in the heart, not with the head, but with the heart. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called upon the name of the Lord tonight? If not, will you call now? What a dangerous thing it is to know that you need to be saved, to be convicted by the Holy Spirit, to come to the point of decision, and then to put it off and to say with Felix, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Are you praying Russian roulette with your soul? Putting it off. Refusing tonight Christ. God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We're at the great white throne of judgment. And the lost of the ages are gathered there. And the great and the not so great are there. And the books are open at that great white throne of judgment. And the book of deeds are there. All is revealed. Everything you've ever done is flashed on the screen of eternity, as it were. Every scene of your life. It's up before your eyes. Then there's the book of life. And inscribed in that book of life are the names of all those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. And the judge on the throne is there. And the man walks up to him. And the judge says, what's your name, sir? And he says, my name's Felix, sir. I'm sorry, sir, but your name's not here. Oh, but you know me. I'm a Felix of the Bible. My name is in the Bible. Listen, I heard Paul preach. I trembled under the ministry of Paul. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. But your name's not in the book. Depart from me into everlasting fire. Oh, but you don't understand, sir. I'm the Felix of the Bible. I wanted to be saved. I would like to be saved now. I'm sorry, sir. But there's no record of your birth. Is your name written there? On that page, bright and fair. In that book of God's keeping, is your name written there? Friend, if your name's not in the Lamb's book of life, you'll not be in heaven. Oh, your name might be on the Free Presbyterian Church roll as far as an affiliation with a church. Your name may be on some other church roll or some other organization's roll. If it's not in God's book, friend, the book of life, you'll not be in heaven. The Bible says, Revelation 20:15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Friend, are you going to go from this meeting tonight, on this Sunday night, the 15th of January 2006, go from Crossgar Free Presbyterian Church to a lost and Christless eternity? Don't do it. Don't do it. Trust in Christ. There's hope in the gospel. There's salvation available tonight. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Will you trust Him tonight? May God help you so to do. Let us pray. Father, we pray that thine infallible word will be written upon the fleshy tables of every heart. May those this night who will come to Christ and trust in Him be saved for time and for eternity. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing hymn is 273. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. Page 286. And if you're concerned or troubled about these things we've been speaking about tonight, your soul's salvation, do feel free to speak with us afterwards. We're here to lead you from God's word to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a backslider, we're here to point you back to the Saviour and to be restored to the Lord. Don't leave.